Welcome to the Beacon Church Podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
What a great morning to be in church. It's my privilege to share this morning. As it's always funny when you're on announcements and how loose you can be. It's good. Maybe it's because you don't have to preach. I don't know, but I'm glad that we can laugh in church. If you weren't here last week, Pastor Az kicked off a bit of a new series kind of things, and he shared three things that God has taught him this year, and he's going to be continuing in that same theme next week. And he's asked me to bring a similar message. What has God spoken to me about in 2024? And I'm excited to share this message, but I do feel like I need to kind of paint the picture for everyone to understand why what God has taught me this year has been so meaningful and probably the part that's going to relate to your life. I need to set up some context of what happened to me at the end of 2023 to walk into this year, maybe so I needed to learn these lessons. 2023 was a fantastic year for me. I don't know what it was like for you, but 2023 was a very good year for me, which was nice. You know, not every year is like that, but I was having a great year. I found myself in a job that I absolutely loved. Not only was I on staff here at church for the first time, but I had this amazing opportunity that I don't really know how I got, just God opened a door. I was working for an organization here in Brisbane called Brisbane Catholic Education. It's a school system of over 150 different schools. And I found myself working for their Catholic identity team in a youth ministry role across all of those schools. I'm not really sure how I got there, but I got to travel around to different primary schools and secondary schools, doing what I love, teaching young students about Jesus, at just countless schools. I travel around all the way up to Hervey Bay, down the Gold Coast, out to Ipswich, and so many schools around Brisbane. And I don't really know how I got there, but I loved it, right? It was this job that was amazing, and it felt like God just kept opening doors for me. Like, I had opportunities to go and speak at school camps to students I'd never met before and share my story and my testimony, which the schools didn't even know my testimony. They just said, just come tell us your story. And I'm like, cool, I'm going to tell you about how I got healed. It was awesome. Right? I had all of these doors opening up, and it was wonderful. We'd speak to individual schools. We'd do major events where we got students together, and I'd be speaking in front of hundreds and thousands of students at some events. And it was honestly kind of the dream gig for me. I was really loving it. It was fantastic. I was amazed that God had given me this opportunity of ministry in a school system where I got to travel around. And it's funny, often when I talk about that, like you're a Pentecostal youth pastor that's working for the Catholics. Like, how did your programs go? What was that? Like, was it kind of weird? Well, in 2023, we brought a program to schools about the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, and get this, you might recognize some of these themes, how the Holy Spirit was revealed in Scripture through metaphors like fire, wind, water, a dove, and oil, right? We talked about those five things, which we've literally just done a series here at church. Like, 2023 was a fantastic year for me, and kind of the peak moment was actually work paid for most of my trip to go over to Spain and Portugal with a group of other staff members to an event called World Youth Day. This was us at the airport getting ready to go, and I've just got a couple photos. This experience was wild. If you don't take a dodgy selfie, were you really there? So I think there's a few of them, but this event, I told you, if it could have just been a photo off Google if I'm not in it. Right, this event was amazing. This capture, this photo here, is insane. This was the final event, which lasted from a Saturday night through to a Sunday morning, a camp out. Everyone slept out in this field. But this photo is from a helicopter, and it's actually section A of the event. On the other side of this river is section B and C. 1.5 million people from all over the globe attended this event to celebrate their faith. To be at this thing was amazing. It was exciting. It was an experience unlike anything I've ever had. The trains were crazy. We're packed in like sardines. Like, I had an amazing time. I made such great friends. I could not believe that this was work for 2 weeks, right? Like, it was amazing. And I was like, God, what is this door you've opened for me? How is it that I'm here? And I arrived home after this trip. I had my first day in the office and I was met with some news. Your contract is not going to be renewed. At the end of this calendar year, it's been nice, see you later. And I discovered that day a number of my team were getting the same conversation as they made some changes. What happened? Have you ever had a moment like that where everything was great? Like it was awesome, and then a phone call, a conversation, something happened. Where did that come from? So I thought, no, it's all right. I got a few months before the end of the year. And the end of 2023 began this frantic scramble in the background of my life. I was doing up my resume, making sure it looked good. I'm applying to jobs. I'm thinking, this is great. God's opened so many doors for me. Surely it will be easy and I'll walk into the next one. And I was met with closed doors. Closed doors, the opportunities didn't happen. In fact, for months I was met with no's. And even the ones where there was actually one organization that offered me two roles. And when I finally worked out which one I wanted to take and I called them, they said, sorry, we've actually given both to other people. It's no longer available. These doors just seemed to keep slamming in my face. So New Year's Eve, end of 2023, well, most years it's an exciting moment of what opportunities are lying ahead. What could this year be? For me, when the clock struck midnight, it was the moment that I was no longer employed other than 2 days a week. And I was crunching some numbers in my head. That was not enough to live on. That was not what I needed to get by. I entered 2024 in a really different place than I've entered most years. This moment, this season, this atmosphere brought some real meaning to words that the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 43:19. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Entering 2024 felt like a desert for me. The unknown was not fun. It was stressful. It hurt. I tried not to show it, but I know some people could see it. It was a year for new things, though. I remember, in fact, we kicked off this year with a summer camp in January, which we're prepping for 2025 already. But I remember even at this summer camp, we had this moment where I took some students to a frozen yogurt shop. And while they're waiting for their yogurt, I'm still there on my phone sending off resumes. I discovered there's this new opportunity. I better apply for it while I'm waiting for kids to order frozen yogurt. Life was still going on, but there was such significant need. It was creeping into every moment. But the timing of God's provision has been amazing this year. See, one of the things that was a big stress or factor of it was Bella and I love and have a value that we will invest in the legacy campaigns that we do here at church. And having work disrupted for 6 weeks put a hold on how our weekly commitment to that was meant to be going. I found myself lagging behind. I'm like, God, I know that you call me to this, but like, I don't have it right now. What's happening here? But God has been faithful this year. At the right moment, God has opened up the right doors. I ended up as a chaplain at a high school in West End, which fit perfectly for the 3 days I needed. Later on, not long, or a couple months later, God opened another door for some contract work at Christian Heritage College. And with all that he's done this year and the work that he brought to me, the week that we were able to complete our pledge from 2023 was the week that 2024 Legacy kicked off. The timing of God's faithfulness to restore what was lost in a period of unknown has been amazing. But that period was not without questions, uncertainty. What are you doing, God? Without prayers and tears. It wasn't without the struggle, the wrestle that so many in this room are relating to. Today, my message that I want to share, I hope will encourage anyone in the room who's got that prayer or that question of needing clarity. God, I just want clarity. What am I called to? What am I supposed to do? What am I meant to be doing right now? This year has been so much movement and shifting and so many new things. And I've found for myself, I've known a call from God. In fact, at 14 years old at a youth camp, I felt God speak to me clearly about my call for ministry. And even though I've had that call, could be confident in that call, I've still had a place this year of, God, but what is it for me this year? Where's my direction? Where am I supposed to go? What opportunity? And I know that many of us are asking that similar question. God, what do you want for me? What's my direction? What's my purpose? And today I want to share a message that God has helped me answer that question. As I've read in the scripture this year, he's highlighted a book that maybe hasn't been a focus of mine in the past, that I want to share just a few ideas of what each of us is called to. That no matter your personal outworking of that, whether that's in business or a career or study or whatever it is that you're doing with your time, that these three calls that we find in 1 Peter are for each of us as believers. And I hope that these calls will give you the sense of purpose and direction that you are looking for. So here's three things. And the first one we find in 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 to 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The first call for all of us believers, no matter what your week looks like, what work you do, is a call to be holy like our God. No matter your occupation, no matter your relationship status, no matter your income, your age, no matter what, if we're a follower of Christ, we have a call to holiness. So what does holiness mean? What is that word? Well, holiness kind of has two definitions or components. The first idea of holiness is perfect moral purity. Perfection. Perfect moral purity. It's also to be cut off or distinct from everything else. When we put these two things together, we get this understanding that holiness is like God, who is separate from the ways of this world, different from the ways of this world. We are called to that. We are called to be holy because God is holy. And this idea that the Apostle Peter writes is not a new idea to the scriptures. He's actually bringing out a major theme of a well-known book that maybe some of us don't like to read in Leviticus. But he brings out this key idea. It's repeated multiple times in Leviticus, like in Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Again, the next verse, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. 8 chapters later in Leviticus 19:1-2, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Again, a chapter later, consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Holiness is this key idea that we are called to. And I want to maybe unpack it a little bit, because perfection, we know, but I can't be perfect. How am I supposed to be called to something that's so difficult? But if we're a follower of Christ, we have to remember we can't ignore this call, because the way that we live matters. The way that we live actually matters. We're called to be set apart from the world, set apart from sin. We're called to holiness. You know, I often hear these speakers, and many of us have probably said it, those moments when someone says to you, "I thought you were supposed to be a Christian." You know, those moments, like it stings and it hurts, and sometimes it's unfairly thrown at us. But I've got to admit, sometimes there might be a sense of truth to that statement, though. If we're a follower of Christ, we are actually called to follow him, to live by his ways, not our own. It's a call to holiness, a call to pursue Jesus. Holiness that comes from him. See, I've met some people this year, not in this church, let me be clear. Some people who call themselves Christians, but aren't willing to submit to Christ's ways. They say, "I accept Jesus," but they haven't let their faith in him actually dictate how they live their life. And Paul in Romans chapter 6 makes it pretty clear that's not how we're supposed to live when we've been saved. We're meant to be separate from sin. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, "What should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" See, the point that Paul's making, when we've been saved by Christ, we're called to holiness, not to live the way we used to. We're called to leave behind the old and embrace a new way of living. And Peter emphasizes this point in 1 Peter still. He emphasizes this idea in chapter 2 with a famous passage. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." See, the call to holiness is a call out of darkness into his marvelous light. Friends, don't stay in the darkness when you accept Christ. Come to his marvelous light. How do we do that, Josiah? How do we come into the light? Well, I love that verse 10 just here explained that we were once not a people, but now we're the people of God. God is the one who initiates this. He rescues us from the darkness and he calls us a people. Just want us to imagine for a moment the people in this room. What other than God could bring all of us to this place? Like it's actually, if you sit and think about it, the different cultures, the different countries that people in this room were born in, the different industries you work in, the different ages, to have this group of people in this room is actually quite unusual. What could do this other than God, who once we were not a people, but now we're the family of God? Like I don't know. We could go to a concert, but we've got very different music tastes. We could go to a sports team, but you'd be yelling at me because I support the other team than you do. But here, something draws us together. It's we're the family of God. See, our holiness is not from ourselves. We don't earn holiness. We can't achieve holiness just by being good. It's a gift from God. We can't earn moral perfection. Each of us has already missed that boat. In fact, I debated sharing this story or not. I went back and forth, but I want to make a point here. The first time I remember that I intentionally did something wrong, I think I was about 5 years old. I was at my swimming club down here at Cleveland Primary School, and the canteen was not being manned by anyone. probably know where this is going. And I spotted in a jar a sherbet lollipop, 15 cents. But I didn't have 15 cents, but I wanted that lollipop. So while no one was looking, I took the 15 cent lollipop. Now, I debated sharing this story. It's so stupid. Like, I probably did stuff wrong before, but this is the first time I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. How enticing sin can be. Yeah, we have no idea of the cost. See, God's holiness is so much greater than what we can understand, because we could so easily brush over a moment like that. That's just to say, he's just a kid. He didn't know. We make excuses for ourselves. It wasn't that bad. But God is holy, perfect, even to that level. And I share this story because we have to know how great our need for a Savior is, and then how great his holiness, that he would replace our sin, our mistakes, and he would replace that with his holiness. In him is no darkness, not even a little bit, not even a 15 cent lollipop. In him is no darkness. And we are called to holiness, to leave behind all darkness, to walk in the light, only possible because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Only possible. What an amazing trade, to trade failure for perfection. He's called us to leave the darkness and walk in his light. We're called to holiness. The second call that I found in 1 Peter that I promise you is an encouragement, but it won't sound like it. Second call is a call to suffer well. A call to suffer well, to suffer like Christ suffered. We see this in chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. For God is pleased when, conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I find it an incredible thing that God has called us to do suffering well. At a glance, this is a pretty uncomfortable call from God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be called to suffer. I don't want to suffer. Why would the Holy Spirit inspire Peter to include this in his letter? Why would this be a call that he had to write from God's voice? Well, Peter was writing to a group of people who'd been scattered because of their faith. They were under harsh persecution. Peter's writing an encouragement to those who are suffering for their faith. He understands a reality. Suffering is a part of this life. If we're honest, sometimes we bring upon our own suffering by our mistakes, our wrongdoing. We make a bad decision and we suffer for it. And Peter gives a little bit of attention to that in the beginning of verse 20 that I just read. For what credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? He's saying like, yeah, you know, if you earned it, if you did something wrong and you're suffering, like, it's nice that you're taking that patiently, but you earned that. But beyond that, beyond those moments in our life where, yes, there was a bad decision or we shouldn't have been there or whatever that case might be, he understands and he identifies there's times in our life where we're going to suffer unjustly. That we didn't earn it. We didn't deserve that. We were doing good. We were living a fine life. We didn't make a mistake to deserve this. Peter knew that would happen. Those that he was writing to knew that happened. Jesus had warned his followers that this very thing would happen. In Matthew chapter 10, 16 to 22, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Thanks, John. We can talk about that later, mate. We live in a world full of suffering. It's all around us. Because of our faith, there'll be times where we're targeted through no fault of our own. Maybe 2024 has been a year like that for you. I know that 2024 has been a tough year. It's been a year that I didn't see coming the way that it's turned out. God has been good in it, but there was moments of complete questioning, understanding what is going on here, God. But despite maybe the unfairness of our suffering, God calls us to suffer well, to take it patiently, to endure, rather than to fight back or complain or walk away from God. And I know that's quite a big ask, but I love that Peter points to Christ as our example of how to suffer. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. See, when Jesus was being executed as an innocent man, he didn't complain, but he forgave them. In Luke 23:34, most powerful picture of suffering well, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." How great a witness could our lives be if we suffered well? If when we didn't deserve the suffering, but we live like Christ, how great an example to those around us would that be? I know of a family who live in the Redlands who lost their son this year. 2024 will be a year they remember losing their son to a fight with an illness. This young man and his family, they serve on the worship team at their church. As his family has processed this loss, this tragedy that I can't even comprehend, a tragedy that reminds me of the story of Job that Pastor Az shared last week, their response, much like Job, has been to continue to worship. Imagine if in the midst of our suffering, we responded like Christ. See, this family's example has already spoken to so many around them. And there are people that are now asking those parents, how do I become a Christian? The way they've responded to such great suffering has been the most impacting witness of God's goodness. Because I believe that they're suffering well, like Christ did. I couldn't begin to guess the situations in the room. I don't know the story that you're facing. But I'm not the example. Christ is the example. who knows what it is to suffer unjustly, but to do so in the most incredible way. Would we be called to suffer well like Christ did? I hope that I take that up when I'm in places like I was this year, not understanding, not knowing. I hope that having seen this and learned this, that this will be my response. The final piece of clarity I felt God give me from 1 Peter is in chapter 5, another call. It says this from verses 6 to 10, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." The third call that each of us is called to is a call to eternal glory, a call to eternal life with Christ. And this is meant to be a lens by which we view our world. It's not meant to be something we forget. I love that this call comes the encouragement for those who have been suffering. An encouragement that God will bring comfort. He'll bring strength. He'll establish us through Christ. Ultimately, God's call for us is an eternal one. Do we look at our lives with an eternal perspective that Christ saved us and has given us eternal life? I think that this call will absolutely change the way we live our everyday. When we remember eternity as priority in our life, it will shift the way we interact with people. It will shift the way we interact with our family at the Christmas table. It will shift the way we respond when they say something we wish they didn't. It'll shift the way that we respond when we're at work and the people that don't know Christ are all around. If we remember a call for humanity to know Christ and have eternal life, it will shape the way that we interact with everyone in our world. The way that we interact with family, friends, colleagues, our baristas, our mechanics. It'll change the way we interact with all those around us. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is eternity with Christ. It changes the way we see things. The inconveniences of our day sort of aren't as important when we remember eternity. Losing a job that I loved isn't really that important in the grand scheme of eternity. Yeah. Eternity puts perspective to what really matters. And we are called to it. We're called to it. Eternity, which is only possible through Christ. My hope today is that for anyone in this room who's facing unclarity, I don't know if that's a word, but you get it. A lack of clarity, uncertainty, that's what I was trying to say. If you're in that place of, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, Lord. I don't know which direction I'm supposed to go. I'm trying to follow you, Lord. What is it supposed to look like? Well, I pray that today is the day where you learn from his word that he's got some very clear calls for your life. That you don't need to doubt, you don't need to question, you can know that God has called you. A call to holiness, to live like Christ, to follow him. A call that when you're suffering, you would do it well like Christ did. And a call to eternal life. This is what God has taught me in 2024. He's brought clarity to my life. And I don't have all the answers yet. But I know that if I can follow him and just walk in these callings, wherever my feet find themselves, I'll be following him. Whatever it looks like practically, I know if I'm following these calls, I'm following Christ. So I want to pray. You join me in this moment of prayer. God, I thank you for every person in this room right now and so many situations represented. I pray right now that you're revealing which of these calls we need to know, which of these calls we need to embrace. Ultimately, you'll teach us, Lord, to follow all of these as we pursue you, God, as we strengthen our faith, as we follow you, Lord. I do pray for those, Lord, who want to live a holy life. Teach them to receive your holiness by faith. Teach them to walk in it. Teach all of us, Lord, to do that, God. Help every person who suffers to suffer well. To lean into your example, Jesus. Lord, we know that's not easy. We know that suffering comes with many tears, many sleepless nights, Lord, and 2024 has been filled with those. We ask for your strength, Lord, for all those facing difficult times. Would you teach all of us to suffer like Christ, to do it well, Lord? And ultimately, Lord, we pray that an eternal perspective would dwell within us at all times. That we can have eternal life through you, Jesus. Just in this moment, perhaps you're in the room and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never said yes to the one who gives you eternal life, that restores holiness to you. If you're here this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe some point today, even before I've been speaking, something in your heart has said, I need to get right with God. And that's why you're here this morning. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ is what you've been looking for? He's the one that will give you a new way to live. He's the one that will forgive your sin. If you're here this morning in this place, I want you to do something really simple for me. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are right now. I just would like to acknowledge it. I see that hand. That's amazing. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. If there's anyone else in this room that knows today I need to get right with Christ, just as I look one more time from the left to the right, because I'd love to pray for you. So God, I thank you for this gentleman. I thank you for this moment, that whatever's brought him here, God, I thank you that eternity, Lord, with you is possible through your sacrifice on that cross. Lord God, I pray for your forgiveness to meet him right now, your love to pour out over him, God. And Lord, thank you that he would take up these calls to follow you, Lord. We pray that today is just a moment, but a beginning of a life following you. We pray for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.